Housing is the single biggest issue we have in the Bay of Quinte region. I saw this through my campaign. I've seen it in the last 8 years being a counselor and involved with the Bay of Quinte Living Council. And I've brought it to the House in the last week, my first week, a couple weeks in Parliament. And the questions are this. How did we get here? You know, 8 years ago, I sat in a group called Bay of Quinte Living with Adrian Bax and Quinte Home Builders, and we had the Quinte Realtors. And at that time, we couldn't get people to move to the area. We had a growth rate that was only 0.2%. An average house at that time was $268,000. You could get a waterfront property in Prince Edward County for $350,000. And we had to work with Bay of Quinte Tourism at the time, with Quinte Home Builders and Quinte Realtors, on putting money aside to work with Bay of Quinte on campaigns that attracted people to the area. This year, homes in Prince Edward County just last month were $1.2 million. The average house in Quinte West in Belleville, over $650,000. Homes are simply unaffordable. Rentals have gone up over 15 to 20%. And across Canada, homes as a whole are up 124%. How did we get here? Why is the situation so bad? Homelessness in this area has doubled. We have more people falling through the cracks, not finding housing, and not finding anything to shelter them. And are we in a housing bubble? Is a bubble going to burst, or are we headed for more prolonged housing prices? What will we gain? How will we get there? And what's next for housing? Well, today we're going to discuss all of that and more in the House.
Mr. Speaker, it's my pleasure to rise as the first time as Conservative MP for the Bay of Quinte.
This is the In the House podcast with your voice in the House of Commons, Bay of Quinte MP, Ryan Williams.
Housing supply is the biggest single issue affecting and also the cause of the housing crisis we have here in Canada right now. And how bad is it? Well, according to Scotiabank, and they had an affordable housing summit about 2 months ago, the number was 1.8 million homes. For Canada to meet the medium average of housing per capita of our friends in the G7. So, including Japan and the UK and the US, when we look at housing supply, we were dead last. Now, what does that mean? Well, look at our country, the second biggest landmass in all the world behind Russia. And of course, no shortage of timber and lumber and materials to build homes. And yet, we are at the very bottom. So today we're going to speak to our Home Builders Association, and we're going to hear some clips from both our Shadow Minister of Housing, Matt Genereau, and our Shadow Minister of Finance, Pierre Poilievre, on just what is happening with housing. Let's start with Ruth Eswick.
Why is housing such an issue in the Quinte region right now? The short answer is supply. If we can open up supply and reduce the time in getting shovels into the ground, we can definitely improve this. Regionally, we don't have a plan in place. There's currently no Eastern Ontario growth plan, for example, that accounts for current growth and for future growth. If you haven't read Mike Moffat's Baby Needs a New Home report commissioned by the OHBA, it should. It supports the Ontario Home Builders Association position that we need 1 million new homes in Ontario in the next 10 years. We've seen a tremendous increase in GTA migration to our area, where demand has outweighed supply and has impacted market pricing significantly, as we've seen. Increasing supply is essential. All levels of government need to work together in order to solve this housing crisis, and there is no one single solution. It involves looking at existing processes where red tape slows down development. It involves working with industry to help overcome existing challenges, and it involves changing the perception of land development and building industries to be one of community builders. I think it's important that we consider in 2016, Belleville CMA was named number three in core housing need behind Toronto and Victoria across Canada. That's an important statistic. and it should also speak volumes of the current crisis situation that we are in our area. We think it's important that our industry is included as a vested stakeholder and resource in solving this crisis. Our members build communities and represent over 6,000 jobs in the region, equating to over $400 million in wages. As one of the largest employers in the region, often our industry is not included in the discussion related to housing and economic development, jobs, etc. And we want to change that. So again, our belief is that the key to this situation is looking at housing supply and how we can make a positive impact to opening up more supply in the region.
Madam Speaker, 1.8 million new homes are needed in this country. The 100,000, the 30,000 numbers that he's talking about, that's not solving the, it's a symptom. It's not solving the real problem. So housing supply is the lowest in the G7. Housing prices are the highest in the G7. There's a 5.2% drop in home bills, a 20% rise in house prices. Does the minister not see that his plan isn't working?
That was Matt Genereux, the shadow minister on housing. And he was very vocal in the last few weeks on supply. Now, we had some solutions. And the solutions we had through the election and last week in the House were to ensure that we have more supply, ensure that we ban foreign investors for housing, and to ensure we ban forever, or as long as we could, the supposed tax on your primary residence. Now, the first one on supply, I thought was a very good solution, that we feel that there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 37,000 government buildings that may or may not be vacant, especially through COVID as more people are working through home. And part of the solution was to take 15% of those homes or those buildings and to ensure that they were given to the housing market so the housing market then could create supply. Now, the federal government, and we've heard about this, is talking about, they said they're building enough supply, that they have enough homes being built. Well, in 6 years on their affordable housing projects, they've created 100,000 units. But again, when we look at the 1.8 million homes that are needed, this is, of course, just a drop in the bucket. So what are some other solutions? And of course, we talked to home builders. You've heard from Ruth. We've heard from some of the other ministers. I brought a few other solutions, and you know, it's going to come down to working with the provinces and working with municipalities on looking at different ways in which we approve housing and approve supply. And part of that's going to be ensuring we double housing production, housing new starts or new builds, ensuring that we close the gap between housing approvals, that if someone does approve a project for housing, it should be a maximum of 120 days. Right now, well, in Toronto, if you're trying to build an apartment building, try 10 years before that building can get in the ground and get up, lagging our production for housing. And a lot of great ideas that look at our zoning and our practices for approving housing and to ensure, and sometimes we just need to build up. And our city and towns like Picton and Quinte West and Trenton and Belleville, we need to have more intensification, more ways which we can build up, ensure we have the right skilled trades and builders, and to ensure that we just are looking more at supply, the number of homes going up, and when we do so, we have more opportunity for those people to afford or buy a home for the first time. More importantly, we're looking at not just housing supply, but rental. And when it comes to rental, I'm from the hotel business, and I know this, when you build more and have more units, the cost goes down. So those are some of the solutions put forward when it comes to supply. We're going to continue to work with those partners. But first, let's look at how we can get through the biggest problem, and that's the housing bubble. Pierre Poilievre, who has not been shy to talk in the House over and over, and sometimes over, depending who you are, on housing supply and how important it is to focus on the bubble.
Canada has the second worst housing bubble in the entire world, according to Bloomberg. Only New Zealand is worse than Canada. This year alone, we saw a 20 to 25% increase in the average house price, according to the Canadian Real Estate Association. And it is more expensive to live in Vancouver or Toronto, when you take median income and compare to median house price, than it is to live in New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, London, England, Singapore, and countless other places with more people and money and far less land. It doesn't make sense that we would be among the world's most expensive places to buy a home, given that we have a phenomenal amount of land. We have the second biggest land mass in the world, the 10th most land per capita on Earth. We have about 33 football fields for every man, woman, and child in Canada, if you spread us out evenly. In fact, if you think about it, there are more places in Canada where there's no one than there are places where there is anyone. So we've got more land than we know what to do with, yet we can't find a way to house everybody. There are two reasons for that. One is the long-term structural problem, and the second is the more immediate catalyst. So let's start with the long-term problem. We can't get things built in this country. It takes 7 to 10 years for a developer to go from buying a land to getting full permitting to building on it. It's very difficult to transform properties. So to get permits to take an office tower that's now emptied because people are working from home and convert it into rental, or to take an old Victorian mansion in Belleville and convert it into a 7-unit apartment building. There's more paperwork involved in those kinds of things sometimes than there is material and labor costs. Trying to get zoning to densify and increase the number of units in neighborhoods is very hard because often rich mansion owners like to keep lower income people out of their neighborhoods, and they lobby their local governments to block development permits and keep zoning as restrictive as possible. So that is the long-term problem. We don't let things get built here. The more immediate problem that has led to the sudden surge in prices is that the government directed the Bank of Canada to flood financial markets with cheap cash over the last year and a half. And the government's motive was to make it easier to borrow money for running deficits. Some of that money overflowed into the mortgage market, and Canadians borrowed $193 billion since COVID for mortgages. And that has, of course, led to a massive inflation in housing prices. There's been 100% increase in the number of mortgages granted to investors, and a large increase in the number of mortgages that are heavily leveraged and that are variable rates. So what's happening is all this cash is flooding into the system at very low temporary rates, driving up demand and therefore prices. So you have the federal government subsidizing demand with all of this newly created cash that has just gushed into the system, and you have local governments limiting supply. So one level of government balloons demand, the other restricts supply. What do you get? Asset price inflation. And now we have an extremely dangerous bubble. And the worry is that suddenly interest rates may rise, and people who've bought these exorbitant houses will not be able to make their payments. They'll then have to sell en masse, and there'll be few buyers able to buy them because rates will be too high for the average Canadian to make the mortgage payment. That could lead to a crash with many people underwater on their mortgages, banks taking losses and seeking government bailouts. That would be the kind of bubble burst that we saw in the 2008 financial crisis south of the border. We need to do everything we can to avoid that. And the answer to the puzzle is really quite simple. We have to stop printing money and start building houses. Get back to normal monetary policy, where supply and demand for credit determine interest rates, and get back to a free market for construction so our builders can go in and quickly get approvals to put homes into the market, let people have an affordable place to live. So once again, stop printing money and start building houses. That's the solution.
Pierre's got this down pat, and it's been a message from our government from the beginning. the more money that's gone into the market that isn't going into the free market to help build supply, that isn't going into the free market to ensure we have workers, Canadian workers, who are producing housing, and that's many different skilled jobs that pay very well. The lack of that, the red tape, the lack of supply has created this enormous housing bubble where we don't have enough homes and we have more people. And part of that is also the fact that we have a deficit in terms of immigration and immigrants who are going to come to Canada. Canada has always committed around 340,000 slots to immigrants a year. To make up for COVID, that'll be well over 400,000 a year. We guesstimate it'll be anywhere close to 1 million new immigrants coming in. And when we look at that deficit and we look at the lack of housing and that we haven't put the priorities for immigration into skilled jobs and building homes, and if we don't do that, where are 1 million immigrants going to live when we are already seriously short of housing? And to Pierre's point, we have a bubble right now. We are absolutely in a crisis where we don't have enough homes. And when it comes to this bubble, will it burst where we have a point where homes are not there, or we have a point where if interest rates go up, that people can't afford to buy their home? And this is, again, like I've mentioned from the onset, this makes it the most serious of situations in this whole country. And to Pierre's point, the solutions are to create more things in Canada, stop running massive deficits that give money to the mortgage markets that allow, and different factors that allow people to drive up the cost of housing. But at the same time, it's going to be immigration as part of the solution to this bubble, that when we bring immigrants to this country alongside Canadians, they have to be skilled so that they're adding to the deficit we have in the trades to build more homes, alongside reducing red tape, ensuring that we have better zoning practices and policies. Even if we declare just a crisis in Canada and we suspend some of that, just so we're allowed to make sure we can go and create the housing where it can go, where it's needed, to ensure that it's more affordable, that we're decreasing the bigger social issues that come from the lack of it, and that we're creating, most importantly, jobs and cash that kill inflation. So that's part of the solutions. Let's see what's going to happen. One of the consequences of the dire housing situation and the crisis in Canada right now in Bay of Quinte has been an increase of homelessness in our region. I saw it running in the campaign. I saw it as a Belleville City Councillor. I saw it years ago, and we did notice the increase of homelessness. We understand the cracks that people are falling through, and especially through COVID and seeing a decline on some of our industries and some other areas in our city, we're seeing an increase of that. And there's several groups that are doing some incredible things in this area. I'm going to introduce them to you. I'm going to start with Grace Inn. Now, one of the things I like about Grace Inn was its transitional housing. And we're going to ask Jody what transitional housing is. This is Jody Jenkins.
Yeah, we're excited about transitional housing and what we'll be able to do in that area. You know, it's interesting, speaking from our perspective at the Grace Inn, we have the emergency component. Our desire is to move individuals through the different sequences, I guess, when it comes to housing. So in essence, I guess, you know, you have an emergency shelter situation, then you can go into a transition transition home. And then ultimately, we'd like to be able to place people in permanent housing that they would own. That's something, we're not there yet, but that is something that we want to get into. So it's going to take a lot of effort on our part. I'm proud to say that, you know, in the last year, we're about to open the doors on a 6-unit transition home that we'll be opening up. And we're excited about that and seeing what that's going to do for our community. And we're not done yet. I think the future is bright. But again, I think for us here at Grace Inn, we would really love to get into those different levels of housing. So we're going to have a transition home. I mean, obviously, there would be a desire to do more of that in the future. And then again, building permanent housing that people can own. And again, big job, very exciting, but I'm proud of our team, and I know that we could pull it off. And our community, I got to say, our community has been nothing short of amazing the way they've supported our projects. And I can't think of anywhere else that I would want to be doing this than in the riding of Bay of Quinte, because it's they've been amazing.
So we have a lot of projects happening with homelessness. We have some different groups handling this. One of the other interesting groups that started up in Belleville was called Welcoming Streets. This is Sarah.
So the Welcoming Streets initiative began in June 2021. It is designed to support downtown Belleville businesses and our vulnerable population simultaneously. So as the Welcoming Streets steward, my role is to address business concerns while providing direct outreach support and promoting a safe and inclusive community. So if an individual is in distress or appears to be in distress, or they appear as though they need some additional mental health support, a business can contact the Welcoming Street Steward, which is myself. As well, if businesses are experiencing an individual sleeping or loitering on their property, they can give me a call too. So not every situation warrants police presence. Not every situation is an emergency situation. Therefore, businesses now have the ability to reach out to another support system, and I'm able to get there quite quickly, respond to the situation, and connect individuals to services at the same time, which we've seen has been quite valuable, and we've seen a significant decrease in calls made to our local police unit. Understanding an individual's lived and living experiences are vital in providing care that addresses their complex and unique needs.
And Sarah, one of the questions I've asked is, how do you see homelessness, and what are the solutions for the future?
So when we're talking about solutions moving forward, I can give you my perspective. There are definitely a few things that I would like to highlight here that when I'm conducting my own practice, I do my best to be mindful of. So lived and living experience, data-driven supports, rapid supports, community education, and housing affordability. All of those pieces, I believe, are solutions for the future. So if we talk a little bit about data-driven and housing affordability, if we talk about Belleville specifically, according to a point-in-time count conducted in April of 2021, prepared by the Bridge Street United Church, findings showed that housing affordability was the top driver of homelessness. If we talk about solutions for the future, point-in-time counts provide a clear understanding of homelessness and what measures need to be taken in order to reduce this. When considering housing affordability being the number one driver for homelessness in Belleville, not having enough income for housing was identified as the primary reason for this by 26% of all respondents. From my experience supporting individuals directly downtown, the majority of them are on some form of social assistance, and this can pose a huge financial barrier and challenge, as it's challenging for them to afford their rent, let alone all of those other aspects and basic needs of life.
So as you can see, there's many different groups, great organizations working on this. Obviously, we have to fix housing first, but homelessness comes with this, and also affordable housing. What are we doing to ensure there are enough affordable rental units? And we have different groups who have done some great things, some groups that haven't been able to get things through but are trying to work on that. I caught up with the Love Song Project in Prince Edward County.
Hi, my name's Ken Howe, and I'm so pleased to be able to introduce to you our housing project. 10 years ago, we had a team of friends that helped folks in need of moving. And we were shocked to see the awful places that they had to move into. So we searched for years to locate a suitable location, making offers on some, until a school in Bloomfield was closed and declared surplus. This was the prize. Pinecrest School is a 50,000 square foot solid steel frame building situated on about 20 acres, and it had 30 classrooms, which would be divided into 50 individual separate suites, having their own bathroom, kitchen, and bed sitting room. housing in Prince Edward County has reached a critical low with a near zero vacancy rate. This is the first independent non-profit housing project spearheaded by volunteers, which all volunteers pretty much. Love Song is an incorporated non-profit organization, and we've been financed by generous charitable organizations, including the Parrot Foundation and the Huff Foundation, donations from Emmanuel Church, and hundreds of individuals giving us from $2 to $1,000. It's great. It's great the way things have been moving ahead. And we are also pleased to announce that we have successful in our application for seed funding from the CMHC, Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation, Central Mortgage and Housing, I should say. These funds will assist us in obtaining the required design drawings for commercial kitchen, medical and office center, community hub for recreation and sports, and a very large gym, which will be open to the public. This will be stage one of multiple buildings that will go on the 20 acres. Under the management of Andy Spry from Springale Development, great care is being taken to employ low carbon footprint by installing energy-efficient solar power and grey water recovery in an attempt to implement the three R's, reduce, reuse, and recycle. We are seeking additional municipal, provincial, federal, and foundation funding to complete the retrofit of this project. For further information, you can check out our website, and this is available for project donations and expressions of future accommodation interest, and to watch our progress, www.lovesonghousing.org. That's www.lovesonghousing.org.
So today, we've had a great conversation. We're looking at housing in this region and across Canada, the effects of supply, the housing bubble. Are we in one? Are we not? The homelessness situation, which is a direct result of course, our housing crisis. And we look now at next steps. And next steps are, what can we do further? How can we work together? When I speak in the House, and I'll keep rising on this issue, I'm very passionate about housing and our situation with crisis and homelessness and unaffordability, we're going to continue to try to find collaboration in ways that we work with the government. And the Liberal government right now, who's the government in charge of housing, has stated, and I'll give them credit, they've tried to make sure that we have some supply and affordable housing, and they have created 100,000 units across Canada over the last 6 years. However, it's not enough. We know that we need 1.8 million homes today. And what does that mean for Quinny? That's 5,500 homes we need today. And of course, some of that has to be a mix of affordable housing. We need rental units. And of course, we need houses. And the simple fact that the sad reality for a lot of our children, they probably won't be able to afford a single detached home. It's more what we call mixed middle. I will keep fighting for this in the House. We'll keep finding solutions. It was great to hear those solutions today. And what we plan to do through this podcast is come back to this issue to look at what's happened, what can we do, and what is the future of housing here in Bay of Quinte and Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Ryan Williams, and I'm in the House. And it's a pleasure to have you listen to this podcast. Our goal is to produce this podcast once a month on various issues, including economic development and jobs, mental health. I do sit in the Health Committee now with MP Shelby Cramp. And we were working through issues with COVID and our healthcare system and not having enough doctors and ensuring that we have good paying jobs and we just keep growing this area. This podcast was produced by In Quinte. And if you have any questions or comments, please reach out to me at any time at 613-969-3300 or ryan.williams@parl.gc.ca. I look forward to hearing from you, and we'll see you next time at In the House.